We live, we love, we serve.
And so this morning, if you will grab your Bibles or your Bible apps, and I really do want you to look this scripture up because I want you to put a pin in it. The next time you need some encouragement, put a pin on it. The next time you need to remember who you are and what you have with you. We're going to be turning to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And we're going to start reading at the 10th verse. That's Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Come on, grab your phones, look it up, open it up, put a little note in there, highlight it. It's good reading. It's good reading. It's good encouragement. Y'all got it? Okay, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. And it reads, finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his power. Put on the whole, somebody say the whole, armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, somebody say therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert. Somebody say, keep alert. And always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, God. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought our liberty. We do not know just how God came to love us so. He looked beyond all of our faults and saw our needs. God, we bless your name. We thank you, God, that your grace, it's sufficient. We thank you that your mercy, abounds, and that your peace surpasses all understanding. God, we are grateful on today that when we've done everything else that we can do, we can stand, put on the armor that you give us, and know that you are with us, and because you are with us, everything's gonna be all right. God bless us now. Open our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears, that we might receive a word from you on today. God, allow me to hide behind the cross that these, your children, might hear you more than they see me. And we give you all of the honor and all of the praise and all of the glory. It all belongs to you, oh God. And so we lift our hearts and we lift this prayer in your holy and mighty and matchless name and in the name of Jesus. And we say together, amen, amen, amen. I just want to read a portion of that starting at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Won't you look at your neighbor today and tell them, neighbor, you can do hard things better. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, you can handle hard better. Come on, give your Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seats on this morning. Amen. I have to admit that this sermon was inspired by a video that I saw with Kara Lawson, who is the head coach of the women's basketball team at Duke University. Amen. And you know, it just kind of occurred to me that as I've been talking to people really over the last several months, folks are going through some hard stuff. And I don't know how you feel about it, but it feels like this season almost feels harder than the last season and maybe even the season before that, because we're going through some hard things. Anybody going through something hard right now that you know what I'm talking about? Going through hard things in our homes, dealing with our families, hard things with our children, hard things with our parents, hard things with our spouses, hard things with our relatives, hard things with our friends. I'm talking about hard things this morning, y'all. Hard things on the job, hard things with the work, hard things with the supervisor. I'm talking about hard things. I'm talking about folks that give you an attitude and you don't even know where it comes from. Hard things. I'm talking about going into the doctor's office expecting a good report and they come back telling you that something's going to have to be done and something's going to have to be shifted and changed. I'm talking about hard things. And sometimes those hard things can get us to the point where we feel like we can't make it, where we feel like giving up, where we feel like throwing in the towel, where we feel like it's just us. We get into the why me's. Why me, oh Lord? Why me, oh Lord? Why is this happening to me? It feels like other people are doing better. Why am I going through? And the thing about it is, in this season, I got some good girlfriends. And it feels like when one of them is going through, then the rest of us can encourage that one, and then she can feel better and be all right. When I'm going through, they can encourage me, and I feel better. But what do you do when all your friends going through? When everybody got something going on, you call in to get some encouragement, and instead you're getting a story of how something didn't work out. You're calling, hoping somebody to pray for you, but instead they're looking for you to pray for them. I'm talking about hard things, y'all. Hard stuff. How do we handle hard stuff? Because some of us are waiting for it to get easy. Anybody waiting for it to get easy? But what if it just keeps getting harder? I want to share this video because it really blessed my life. I saw it maybe about 3 years ago, I think. But this is Carl Lawson, and she's encouraging the women's basketball team there at Duke University. Can we cue that video, please?
I was talking with Shay a couple days ago, and one of the things we talked about was how we all wait in life for things to get easier. In your own life, if you waited for something to get easier. Oh, I just got to get through this, and then it'll be easy. I just got to get through preseason, and then it'll be okay. I just got to get through my junior year of high school, and then the classes are going to get easier. Or I've just got to get to my spring and my senior year of college, and it's going to be easier. It's what we do. We wait for stuff to get easier. It will never get easier.
Oof.
What happens is you handle hard better.
Mm.
That's what happens. Most people think that it's going to get easier. Life is going to get easier. Basketball is going to get easier. School's going to get easier. It never gets easier. What happens is you become someone that handles hard stuff better. So that's a mental shift that has to occur in each of your brains. It has to. Because if you go around waiting for stuff to get easier in life, it's never going to happen. And then what happens? Oh, it's so hard. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, this, I don't know, when is it going to be easy for me? Oh, it's easy for other people. It's not. It's hard. And the second we see you handling stuff, handling hard better, what are we going to do? We're going to make it hard.
Oof.
We're going to make it hard. Because we're preparing for you for when you leave here. Not just basketball and life. And if you think life, when you leave college, is going to be all of a sudden get easy because you graduated and you got a Duke degree, it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. So make yourself a person that handles hard well. Not someone that's waiting for the easy. Because if you have a meaningful pursuit in life, it will never be easy. If you're trying to win a championship, if you're trying to have a family, ask your parents. Do you think it was ever easy for them to raise kids? Karen, is it easy? It's not. Any meaningful pursuit in life, if you want to be successful at it, it goes to the people that handle hard well.
Oof.
Those are the people that get the stuff they want.
Oof.
People that wait around.
Yes. Can we celebrate? Listen. That thing blessed my life. It is a scripture within itself. And so I'm combining that scripture with this scripture. Because I believe in this scripture, Paul gives us a formula on how to handle hard better. Because if we wait and keep on waiting for things to get easier, we're going to be missing out on living our best life. The best thing we can do for ourselves is to become people that know that they can handle hard things. And I just want to tell you, I know that everybody in here can handle hard things. Because if you couldn't handle the hard thing, you wouldn't be here. Come on, we can celebrate God for that. Because sometimes we forget who we are. We forget our capacity. We forget what we've overcome in the past. We forget how hard it was in the last season. We forget, and then we think we won't be able to get through, and then we start complaining. We start moaning. We start groaning. We start forgetting that we are the ones who got through the last season, and because God got us through the last season, that same God that was with us then is the same God that is with us now that's going to help us move forward in this season and handle the hard things. When Paul writes this letter to the church at Ephesus, he's speaking primarily to a Gentile community. A community that hasn't been raised in the faith that his Jewish brothers and sisters have been raised in. And so this book of Ephesians is really kind of a manual on what it looks like to live in community. He talks about knowing who you are. He talks about not judging people. He talks about honoring yourself. He tells husbands to honor your wives and wives to honor your husbands. He tells children to honor your parents and parents to honor their children. He gives a full formula of what it looks like to live in community, but he doesn't want them to be deceived and to think that just because they've decided to accept Jesus Christ in their heart, just because they've decided to intentionally be a part of the family of God, that things are not going to get easier. They're not going to get easier. Sometimes we think all I got to do is give it to the Lord. Yes, you can give it to the Lord, but you still want to do some work. Amen. Because the best tools that God has are our hands, our feet, our mouths. Because we are the one who can proclaim to our friends and family, you're going to make it because I made it. It's going to be all right eventually, even though it doesn't feel like it's all right right now. And so as Paul is talking to this community, he wants to give them everything they need so that they can withstand on the toughest day of their life, so that they can withstand when the enemy is after them, so that they can withstand when the inner me won't let us do what we need to be doing in the Lord. And so he gives them this formula. He starts out saying, be strong in the Lord and the strength of God's power. And tells them, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil, the schemes of the devil, the manipulation of the devil. And it's not just that the enemy has the capacity to intimidate the people who are trying to intimidate you, but me too, me too, me too. The word tells us the good that I would do, I don't do, but the evil that I don't want to do, I keep on doing. Oh, wretched person that I am, who shall deliver me? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that when we're in our mess, God doesn't leave us there. Because sometimes we think it's just them. But sometimes we need to look in the mirror and say, is it me? Is it me? Is it me, oh Lord, standing in the need of? He goes on to say, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Because sometimes, y'all, we get so focused on the person that we forget that it may not just be the person, it may be the spirit. Some of us got spirits following us around from relationship to relationship. Have you ever been in that situation where you're looking at your life and you're saying, wait a minute. It feels like I've been here before. It feels like I'm repeating a pattern because it's the same situation, just a different lead character. Same situation, just different people playing the same parts. I'm trying to help somebody. Sometimes it's not the person. But it's the spirit. It's the spirit that wants to manipulate you into being less than who God has called you to be. It's the spirit that wants to make you forget that you've been redeemed, bought with a price, and that God has changed your whole life. It's the spirit that wants you to give up on yourself. It's that spirit that wants you to throw in the towel. It's that spirit that wants you to believe you're not good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not educated enough. It's the, tell your neighbor, it's the spirit. Sometimes we focus our attention on the person. And then finally, when the person leaves, we think we're okay. And we put all of our energy into clarifying the space around us, getting rid of the people that we think are holding us back. And then when the people are gone and we still feel like we're being held back, and then we get some new people in our lives, and they show up really beautifully at the beginning. I'm trying to help somebody. But when you keep on living, you start seeing the same behavior patterns in that person that you saw in the last. It's a... Tell your neighbor, sometimes it's a spirit. Woo! And so then we have to do the work of investigating what's going on in my life that I keep attracting that spirit. Why why does that spirit keep following me around? Why does that spirit keep showing up in my life? Tell your neighbor, it's not always the person. Sometimes it's the spirit. And so I like what Paul is doing here because he is preparing us for spiritual warfare. He's preparing us to handle the hard things better. And I love it because Paul is writing this from prison. And I imagine when I was praying about this yesterday, I said, let me see Paul. Let me see what he's doing. Let me see what's going on. And what I saw was Paul sitting in jail in chains, looking up at a Roman soldier. And looking at that Roman soldier and seeing that physical armor of the Roman soldier sitting in prison in a place where he should have felt powerless. But when he looked at the armor of the soldier, he realized that the soldier wasn't the only one that had armor, but that he too and we too have armor. They just can't see it, y'all. They can't see it. And so I imagine as Paul, and this, I'm just using my creative imagination here, as Paul was looking at the soldier, and the soldier was looking at Paul, thinking that he was more powerful than Paul because he was in authority. I imagine that that soldier, as he was looking at Paul, thinking that he was the one in the right, and because Paul was in jail, he was the one in the wrong. I imagine that that soldier looking at Paul thought that he had all power to do whatever he wanted to do, but the devil is a liar. Paul was able to look at that soldier and instead of being intimidated, got inspired. Oh, that's good. I need to know if there are any people in here who can be inspired by the people who are trying to hurt you instead of being threatened by them. Can they pull out the best in you instead of pulling out the worst in you? Can you look at them and say, I remember I might have been doing what you've been doing, but God loved me enough. And I love God enough to release those things that are not doing me any good and hold on to the things that I know are going to produce life for me. I can see him, y'all. I can see him looking at this soldier and saying, yeah, you got a belt holding your stuff up? Guess what? I got a belt too. My belt is the belt of truth. So I don't have to continue to lie to myself and to other people. I can be honest about who I am and know that even on my worst day, God still loves me. That even when I've done the best thing, God still forgives me. Because some people think they're walking in truth when in actuality, they're not walking in truth. Because sometimes the truth can look like a lie and sometimes a lie can look like the truth. How do we know it? Because sometimes when we're telling our stories, we don't tell the whole story. Sometimes we only tell the part that make us look good. And some of us have crafted the skill so masterfully that we can make ourselves look a little bad, but then make the other person look 10 times worse. We got to be careful when we think we know the truth, but actually we only know a little bit. Woo! And we got to be careful when we're telling our truth that we tell the whole. Some of us are running on a lie right now. Woo! It's got us fired up and ready to go. We're ready to move and intervene, only to find out once you are in the middle of it. Have you ever got caught up in some stuff? And you thought you were on the right side. And then the more you lived and the more you loved and the more you served, you realize maybe I'm not. Paul gives us three ways to handle hard better. Y'all ready? The first way, if you want to handle hard better, you've got to get in the proper position. Tell your neighbor, get in the proper position. It's right there in the text. Paul says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Some of us have been down too long, and we need to change our position and stand up. Some of us have been sitting down too long, sitting on our goals, sitting on our dreams, sitting on our visions, sitting on our possibilities, sitting on what God told you to do, but you thought you couldn't do it, but God wouldn't have told you to do it if you weren't going to be able to do it, because you're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it with the help of the Lord. It's time to get up and not sit on those things that could be giving us life, giving our families life, giving our communities life. It's time to get up. Some of us are sitting, and then some of us just laid out on the floor because we got knocked down and didn't think we could get back up again. But the Bible tells us a righteous man or woman of God falls down 7 times but gets back up. It's time to get up. Get up out of that sorrow. Get up out of that disappointment. Get up out of that backstabbing. It's time to get up. Get up out of your misery. Get up out of your depression. It's time to get up. Get up out of that sorrow. It's time to get up. We've got to change our position. We are not defeated. You are not defeated. The devil is a liar. It is not over. Your life is not over. There's a whole lot more of life that you've got to give. Don't let the wiles of the enemy get in your mind and make you think that you cannot recover. You're already recovering. You're here. Tell your neighbor, we got to get up. Get in the proper position. Stand. And you're not getting up to run. You getting up to stand firm, like you know who you are, like you know who you serve, like you know what God can do, like you know what God has done for you in the past, like you've seen God do it over and over and over and over again. That's when you can stand. Stand up and hold yourself steady, knowing that all things are possible. Stand up. Get your feet apart a little bit so that you can keep your balance, so you can move to the right and move to the left. So if you need to jump and you need to go, stand. Looking at that enemy straight in the eye. And sometimes it means looking in the mirror and telling yourself, you lying to me. You're better than this. You're bigger than this. You can do more than this. You've handled this before, and you can handle it this time. Stand. Shoulders back. Knowing who you are, knowing who you serve, knowing that all things are possible. We got to get up. It's time to stop feeling sorry for yourself. We've done that long enough. It's time to stop crying. That's not going to get anything done. You'll feel better. But when you finish crying and when you finish complaining, stand up. Tell your neighbor, get in proper position. You are not defeated. Stand up. You are not weak. Stand up. You are not broken. Stand up. This is not the end. Stand up. I see some people standing up. I see some people standing up, physically standing up, getting your strength back together, standing up, recognizing who you are, standing up, standing in your authority. Stand. I see you. 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 Stand up. Second thing. After you get in the proper position, and I just want to say this before I go on, I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to stand up even if you got to lean. Because I know sometimes it's so hard that it don't even feel like you're going to be, you feel like if you stand up, you're going to fall back down. Just lean on something, lean on. Thank you. If you want to handle hard better, then you've got to get equipped for endurance. Why? Because this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. You got a whole lot of living to do. And so you have to be equipped for the long run. Paul gives us the recipe for getting equipped. Once you're standing, he tells us what we need to do. Remember, I told you, I think he's writing this and he's looking at the soldier. He's saying, you got a belt? I got a belt. All God's children got a belt. So put that belt of truth on and tell the whole truth. He says also, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not because you do everything right, but because of the right things that Jesus did for us and the gift of God through eternal life and what God has the capacity to do in us and for us and through us, we can put on a breastplate of righteousness. Now, this breastplate is important, y'all, because the breastplate covers all of the major organs. So that when the enemy fires the fiery flame against you, he can't damage the things that are critical to you. Those things that you need in order to live an abundant life. Like your heart. That's responsible for pumping the blood through your body. Like your lungs. That's responsible for the oxygen flowing in your body. Like your stomach. That's responsible for you to be able to be healthy and to live and grow, like your kidneys, which filters waste and produces urine, like your liver, which filters toxins and produce bile. And remember, this is all a metaphor in Paul's eyes. He's looking at that soldier and recognizing you got stuff. Guess what? I got stuff too. I can see your stuff, but you can't see my stuff. But that's what makes me even more powerful, because you don't even know what I'm coming with, baby. But some of us, if you haven't had your breastplate on, need to check your organs. Oh, you're not loving as hard as you've been loving? Maybe that heart needs to be repaired. It needs to be protected. You ain't forgiven the way you need to be forgiven. You're not supporting the way you need to be supporting. Check your heart. You're not breathing the way you need to be breathing. Breath gives us the capacity to speak. Speak life over death. Speak those things that are not as though they were. Loosen those things on earth that have already been loosed in heaven. Check your lungs. You're not digesting the word. It goes in one day and the next day you cry. You need to check your stomach. Make sure it's open and things are flowing well. Some of us need to check our kidneys because we are carrying waste around us. Things that we should have been let go of. Things that are not doing us any good. Thoughts in our mind that keep coming back and keep. We need to let go. Some of us need to check our liver. Responsible for filtering toxins and creating bile so that we can get rid of the waste and the toxins. Some of us walk around and we look good in the physical, but spiritually, we backed up. But I dare you to put on your breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart and protect your lungs and protect your stomach and protect your liver and protect your kidneys so that you can be holistically whole and moving forward. Not perfect, but whole. Because you can be whole and not be perfect. So you've got your belt of truth. You've got your breastplate of righteousness. Paul says then, and put on some sandals that represent the peace of God. When you walk in a room and you walk out the room, be better because you were in it, not worse. Because if you're going in with peace, the one thing chaos doesn't like is peace. Because chaos likes to run rampant. But when you come in with a peace that surpasses all understanding, people will welcome you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. We need some peace in this room. Not chaos, but peace. We ought to be helping people get better, increasing people's lives, increasing their capacity, not stabbing in the back, not talking about them, but helping them to live. Lift folks up. Don't tear them down. Talking about handling hard better. Once you get those sandals on, those shoes, he says, with all of these, once you got your breastplate on, once you got your belt of truth on, once you got your shoes on, then he says, then take up your shield. Because your shield can really protect all the parts of your body. He says, so that you can quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, that scripture says, nothing that comes against me shall prosper. It won't prosper if you have your shield of faith. Because with your shield of faith, you can protect yourself from the things that people throw at you. And sometimes the things that you throw at yourself. We've got to have that shield of faith that tells us all things are possible, that faith that tells us we're the head and not the tail, that faith that tells us that all things will work together for good for those of us that love the Lord and are called according to God's righteousness, that faith that tells us that with God, all things are possible. Grab your shield and check your faith, because that's how you can handle hard better. He says next, take the helmet of salvation. Put that on your head. It's not a hat, y'all. It's a helmet. And what does a helmet do? A helmet protects your head, your mind, but it also protects your ears, your eyes, and your mouth. And so some of us need to make sure we're putting our helmet on every day so that we can renew our minds every day. Don't you hate it when those thoughts come into your mind and you weren't even thinking about it and it just interrupts, it protrudes you. You're having a good time and an evil thought will come in. You're having a wonderful a time and then one of those thoughts will come in that arrests you and breaks your heart. And before you were smiling, but now you're crying because of your mind. We've got to renew our minds every single day, morning by morning, new mercies we see, morning by morning, we've got to renew our minds, putting on the things that are going to help us move forward and not the things that are going to hold us back. And sometimes we got to check our mind and say, I ain't tell you to think about that. That's not where we are today. We having a good time today. We're not crying today. I didn't say that we were. No. We're not thinking about that. We're going to think about the good time. We're going to think about the blessings. No. You're not going to ruin my mind. You got to tell your mind. You're not going to ruin my day today. We're focusing on those things that are pushing us forward, those things that are building us up, those things that are making us whole, those things that are helping us to live and to love and to serve. Put on that helmet of salvation to protect your ears from slanderous gossip, to protect your ears from the things that people say about you or to you that are no good for you. Protect your ears. Protect your eyes, because sometimes what you think you see is really an optical illusion, because God has plans for you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. All right, we ready? We got our belt. We got our breastplate. We got our shoes for the gospel of peace. We got the shield of faith. We got the helmet of salvation. The last thing he says is, then you got to take up your sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Now, some of us want to take up a sword that's really going to do some physical bodily harm to somebody, but you ain't even got to do that. Sometimes the word of God can be more than enough. Tell your neighbor it's more than enough. When you are reminded, when someone comes and tries to make you feel like you're less than what you are, and you can say, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Oh, your sword is doing some good work. When somebody tries to minimize your capacity, you can remind them, I serve a God who created the universe. And when God speaks, we all move. We can remind ourselves through word, through the scripture, that we can not understand everything because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. But if we put our trust in him, God will make our paths straight. Get that sword. Tell somebody, get your sword. And this is the part I love, right? Because now we're ready, right? We got the helmet on, helmet of salvation, remembering that we are saved through God, and we are continuing to be saved every day through the love of God. We've got our breastplate of righteousness, reminding us that we don't have to be perfect to be loved. We've got our belt of truth, reminding us that we can tell the whole truth and God will still love us and honor us. We got peace on our feet, reminding us that we have the capacity to shift atmospheres and shift rooms. We've got our sword of the spirit. Now we're ready to go fight, right? Y'all ready to go fight, right? Because y'all protected. You've got your offensive on and you've got your defensive. And so we would expect that the next thing Paul to tell us to do is to go fight. And we do. But we fight differently than the world. Because the third thing Paul tells us, if you want to handle hard better, is get persistent in prayer. Lord, have mercy. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And so we are not called necessarily to go start a fight. But we are called to be prepared to defend ourselves from the one who wants to start a fight with us. And that's why we've got our equipment. But once we put all of our armor on, it's not for us to go out and break a bottle. Amen. As somebody said on the live I did a couple of weeks ago, it's like, we got to break some bottles. No. You're not going to break no bottles. But what we can do is that scripture, he says, pray in the spirit at all times. And every prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for the saints. And so once we get our armor on, y'all, we're called to be some prayer warriors. Because some things we got to pray our way through. Some things we can't work our way through. Some things we got to pray our way through. And not necessarily praying to manipulate God to work on your behalf to fix the things that you might have messed up. But sometimes praying is for us to hear ourselves so that we can know our own capacity and we can remember what happens when we believe in who we are and when we believe in who God is. We've got to start praying, y'all. Praying possibilities into fruition. We've got to start praying, y'all. Praying for our enemies and those that despitefully use us. We've got to start praying, y'all. Praying for us to have the will to speak up when we need to speak up and to be quiet when we need to be quiet. We've got to start praying, y'all. Praying for the people to come along with us and help us in our quest to do good in this world. We've got to start praying, y'all. Praying for some folks that while you're praying for them, they're praying for you. We got to start praying, y'all. Believing that God hears us. And sometimes when God hears us, God doesn't necessarily do the work for us, but sometimes God will give us just a little bit more so that we can do it for ourselves. We got to start praying, y'all. And believing that the prayers of the righteous avail as much, we've got to start praying, y'all. This is how we handle hard better. By getting in position, standing up, getting up. This is how we handle hard better. By getting equipped for endurance, not just for today or tomorrow, but this has got to be an everyday practice, putting on your spiritual armor and then getting persistent in prayer. We talking about it. We crying about it. We laughing about it. We complaining about it, but have we prayed about it? There is power in prayer. I, you know what? I dare you. I dare you to start a prayer circle. I dare you to start a prayer circle today. Get you two or three people. You don't need many. Get you a few people and determine that you are going to pray at least once a week. 15 minutes. That's all it takes. I dare you to start calling in every morning, Monday through Saturday. FCBC has a prayer call at 7:15. Pastors and deacons are praying for you and for this community. I dare you to get up early enough to jump on the call. You can listen to it while you're brushing your teeth. You can listen while you're in the shower. If you want to know what might be missing from your arsenal after you have put on the full armor, when you know, Pastor Keisha, I know I got my helmet on because I can recognize a lot when I hear it. Pastor Keisha, I know I got my breastplate on because I'm still loving even after all the hurt I've endured. Pastor Keisha, I know I got my belt of truth on because I tell the truth even when it hurts. Pastor Keisha, I know I got my shoes of peace on because I wanted to curse her out, but instead I just said, God bless you. Pastor Keisha, I got my sword of the spirit because when the enemy attacks, I'm ready with the word of God. But are you praying? And I'm not talking about a silent prayer. I'm talking about when you pray so that the universe can hear your words and then work with you and God to bring to fruition the things that you're praying about. So I'm not talking about a prayer where you sit down and you say, oh God, it's so hard. I just don't know how I'm gonna make it. I'm talking about the prayer that says, God, it's hard, but I know I'm gonna make it this time because I made it last time. God, it's hard, but thank you for helping me to learn that I can handle hard things better. That's the prayer where you say, God, I know it's not working out now, but I know because of who you are, it's going to work out for me. When you pray that you speak those things that are not as though they were and not rehearse the hurt and the pain, but begin to rehearse the power and the provision. Begin to rehearse some victory in your life because victory belongs to Jesus. Anybody in here want to speak victory over their lives? Come on, I dare you right now to just say, God, I'm speaking victory over my life. God, I'm speaking victory over my relationships. God, I'm speaking victory over my health. God, I'm speaking victory over my finances. God, I'm speaking victory over my children. God, I'm speaking. Come on, speak some victory. Speak victory over that cancer. Come on, speak victory. Speak victory over that diabetes. Come on, speak victory. Speak victory over your mind that won't do what you're supposed to do, but you have the capacity to do it. Speak victory. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. Don't miss it, don't miss it, don't miss it. I speak victory over my health. Speak victory over your mind. Speak victory over your heart. Speak victory. Speak victory. Speak victory. Listen. Listen. It's hard, y'all. As they say back in the day, it's hard out here in these streets. In these streets. But you know how to handle hard. You've got experience handling hard things. So you don't get to give up. You've come too far. If you were going to do that, you should have did that 10 years ago. But because you're here, you've got to know that you have everything that you need to do all that God has called you to do. You already got it. Sometimes you just need to be reminded. Sometimes you got to remind yourself. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Something about looking in the mirror and talking to yourself that can make all the difference in the world. Yeah, I see the tears. But girl, you've been crying long enough. It's time to get up. Wipe that face. Let's put a plan together. Let's call some people. Let's get some community happen. Let's work together for what we know we have the capacity to do. Listen, our ancestors changed a nation, y'all, with little or nothing, or so we thought. They had this armor. That's what they had. They had this armor. We have the capacity to affect change in our lives and in the lives of our community and in the life even of this place. We heard Pastor Des say that the average gift for the year is $50. With all that this church does and all the ways we've been blessed by this ministry, we have a responsibility to pour back into this place so that it can keep on blessing other people the way it's blessed you and so many others. But we can't do that if we think we don't have enough and we think we'll never have enough. Don't wait until you get it. Give it in faith, knowing that when you give it, God's gonna honor the gift, whatever that gift is. There are so many gifts sitting in this place right now. Gifts of service, not just financial gifts. That's one part. Yes, that's one part. But man, when was the last time you served? Woo! Somebody say, ouch! Pour into this place that's pouring into you. And trust that the same way it's been pouring into you in the past, it will continue to pour into you so that you can continue to handle hard better. Amen? Come on, won't you stand up all over the building today?